Today is the beginning of the season of Advent. The church learned a long time ago that people needed a way to get ready to come close to a mystery like the Incarnation, the mystery we call Christmas. So the church set aside the season of Advent as a time of preparation. During Advent, we are all on the way to Bethlehem, all getting ready to welcome the King who was coming and is coming still. On the first Sunday of Advent, we remember the prophets. The prophets are people who come so close to God, and God comes so close to them that they know what is most important. The prophets pointed the way to Bethlehem. They didn't know exactly what was going to happen there, but they knew that this was the place.
O Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, desire of the world, Savior of all peoples, come and dwell among us. Beloved in Christ, in the season of Advent, let it be our care and delight to prepare our hearts and minds for the mystery of the Incarnation and the coming of our Savior, who was and is to come. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
There is one body and one spirit.
There is one hope in God's call to us.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One God and Father of all.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. Through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter to the Romans. You know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. That as night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the Mount of Olives, Jesus said to his disciples privately about his coming, but about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Today is a big day at the end of a series of annual cultural milestones. We're at the end of Native American Heritage Month, and we're at the end of a long Thanksgiving weekend. It is also, of course, the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of a new liturgical year. And if that's not enough, we're baptizing a baby today as well. But wait, there's more. Lest we forget what some of us have been anticipating for many months now, this past week also saw the opening of the sequel to the musical Wicked. I'm a huge fan of Wicked, both the musical and now the movies, which are based on the books by Gregory Maguire. If you're not familiar with them, the main thing you need to know is that they're a reimagining of the Wizard of Oz stories, taking place years before Dorothy and her little dog arrive in that magical land. This time, the tale is told through the eyes of Elphaba, better known as the Wicked Witch of the West. And the central conceit is that she was never really wicked at all, but rather a scapegoat, an outcast who was demonized for her skin color and special abilities. As she fights for the rights and the dignity of others who are being victimized by a totalitarian regime, she becomes the target of a smear campaign that paints her as a terrorist instead of a freedom fighter. If all this sounds a bit political, it is. I first saw the stage version of Wicked in Chicago almost 20 years ago, and while I loved it then, its political themes are timelier and more pointed now. The supposedly wonderful Wizard of Oz is a fraud and a charlatan, a huckster who sells whatever lies he thinks will keep people happy, while he constructs ever more elaborate castles designed to distract the populace, and who detains or deports anyone he deems a threat. Because, as he says, the best way to bring folks together is to give them a really good enemy. Ultimately, even the yellow brick road is just a bit of painted razzle-dazzle, and it becomes clear that Dorothy and her trio of traveling companions are being used by the wizard and his administration as tools to bring down the only person who sees past the facade and refuses to become complicit in it. Telling the truth is dangerous in Oz. The emotional center of the story, though, is the relationship between Elphaba, the perpetual outcast, and Glinda, a privileged blonde ingenue with the looks and the depth of a Barbie doll. While the rest of the world sees them as opposites, dark versus light, scheming versus wholesome, the Wicked Witch of the West versus Glinda the good, they know that reality is much more complicated. Neither of them has perfectly pure motives. Each one has gifts the other one really wants. And I don't think it's giving away too much to say that when they join forces and become friends, they are able to grow more accepting of themselves and one another for who they really are, rather than believing their own publicity. Their relationship can and does change them for the good. So, and bear with me here, but what if we use this story to help us understand Advent a little better? Every year, Advent begins by summoning the same pair of opposites, darkness and light, day and night, evil and good. These images in today's readings come to us from Paul's letter to the Romans, but of course they're found all over Scripture. When we begin a new calendar year in January, we may spend some time contemplating what we want to bring with us into the future and what we would like to leave behind in the old year. Those things we leave behind aren't necessarily bad, but we realize that they don't serve us well anymore. Turning our face to the future, we recognize that we have been shaped by our past, but we don't need to be defined or limited by it. Similarly, today, as we start the new liturgical year, it might be helpful to think about both the works of darkness and the armor of light with fresh eyes. Yes, let's leave behind or set aside those things that drain us, that make us smaller, more frightened, less generous versions of ourselves. But let's also be sure we're not falling prey to a simplistic dualism that encourages us to always be looking outside ourselves for someone else to blame or someone to idolize. Replacing old certainties with new improved certainties might be satisfying, but it's not growth. Reality is always more complicated than those dualistic certainties make it out to be. So maybe this is where the armor of light can come in to help us. When we put on the armor of light, we're not putting on traditional chainmail, the kind of thing that keeps us from being wounded or even touched. We're not putting on a costume that lets others pigeonhole us without really getting to know us, like that pointy black hat that the Wicked Witch wears. Those are things that separate us from one another instead of bringing us together. The armor of light instead acts more like a new way of seeing, something that filters out our worst instincts and helps us see the world with more tenderness, more compassion, and more truth. Putting on the armor of light is putting on Christ Jesus himself. It is far more powerful than even a pair of ruby red slippers. Unlike in Oz, truth-telling is not a dangerous thing in the kingdom of God. It is a prerequisite for living a God-centered life. We tell the truth about ourselves, not letting others define us, even as we seek to better understand the truth about God, other people, and the whole created order in all its complexity. We don't shirk from naming the spiritual forces of wickedness and the evil powers of this world, but nor do we scapegoat or demonize others, especially not those who are already vulnerable or marginalized. I think this is why our Advent readings focus on staying awake, on being alert. I don't think we're being asked to be hypervigilant because of all those bad guys out there. But we are being encouraged to be awake to a deeper, fuller, more complex reality, to be awake to the twists and turns of history. Be aware that things are not always what they seem and that rarely, if ever, is any one or any situation all good or all bad. We do not need a really good villain to unite us. We can be united by the vows we take at baptism, the vows we're renewing today, vows that we will help CJ uphold as he grows in his Christian faith. During Advent, many of our readings have an apocalyptic feel to them, and there's always that temptation, given everything that is going on in the world around us, to think that maybe this time it really is the end of the world. When we get that feeling, let's remember that the word apocalypse means unveiling. Advent, then, is a time of unveiling, a time to look behind the curtain. What will we find there? A charlatan? A huckster? A fraud? No, because we're not following the yellow brick road. We are following a loving God, a patient and gracious Savior who beckons us ever deeper to our truest and most loving selves. We are invited and encouraged to go to the house of the Lord, to turn our guns and bullets into plowshares, and to pray for peace throughout the world. So this Advent, let us go to the house of the Lord and prepare ourselves for the unveiling. What we will find there will change us, if we let it. Change us, as the song says, for the better and for good. Amen. You may all stand as we begin the presentation and examination of the candidate for baptism. The candidate for holy baptism will now be presented.
We present Curtis Joshua Campbell to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Will you be responsible for seeing that the child you present is brought up in the Christian faith and life?
I will, with God's help.
Will you, by your prayers and witness, help this child grow into the full stature of Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God?
I renounce them.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior?
I do.
Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love?
I do.
Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord?
I do.
Now, this is for everyone gathered here today. Will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support this person in his life in Christ?
We will.
Let us join with he who is committing himself to Christ and renew our baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, with God's help.
Let us now pray for this person who is to receive the sacrament of new birth.
Deliver, O Lord, from the way of sin and death.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Open his heart to your grace and truth.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Fill them with your holy and life-giving spirit.
Lord, hear.
Grant, O Lord, that all who are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, your Son, may live in the power of his resurrection and look for him to come again in glory, who lives and reigns now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it, your Son, Jesus, received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried in his death. By it, we share in his resurrection. Through it, we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we bring into fellowship those who come to him in faith, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now sanctify this water, we pray you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that those who hear are cleansed from sin and born again may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Curtis Joshua, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, I'm sorry, baby. I got you all wet.
Are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit, you have bestowed upon this your servant the forgiveness of sins and have raised him to the new life of grace. Sustain him, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give him an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works.
Amen.
Let us welcome the newly baptized.
We receive you into the household of God, confess the faith of Christ crucified, proclaim his resurrection, and share with us in his eternal priesthood.
Thank you.
I'm Jim Jordan, your vestry person for today. I want to highlight four announcements. There's a lot more going on than just these things. You can read about them on the yellow sheet or on the website. Next Sunday, we will have just one service at 9:30. Our bishop, Bishop Megan Traquair, will be here for a celebratory service to baptize, confirm, and receive, and also to bless the stained glass that we have renovated this past year. Again, one service, 9:30, not 10, 9:30. During Advent, several churches are collaborating to hold Wednesday evening soup suppers, followed by evening prayer. These are at Davis Lutheran Church. The first will be this coming Wednesday, with supper at 6 and evening prayer at 7. If you can bring soup for 8 or 10 people, please contact the office. St. Martin is accepting Christmas flower donations in memory of or thanksgiving for our loved ones. This year, the donations will go to the Altar Guild. We are starting an Education for Ministry, EFM, group in January. If you are interested in that, Barbara Phillips Barrett and I will be in the narthex to answer questions after the service. Thank you.
All right, it sounds like we are at the time for celebrations and milestones. Since you have heard the announcements for today, we didn't have any sent in to us, but if there's anyone who would like to share a celebration or milestone, I would encourage you to come up to the Eagle, because it really helps so people can see and hear you. Is someone, Crystal, do you mind coming forward? While Crystal's coming forward, is there anyone else? Because you should try to get in line now. Okay, Crystal's our brave soul. Go ahead.
Our oldest, Sophia, turned 14.
Yes, Marianne. Ernie Lewis has a birthday on Thursday. Aww. I see that our usher, one second, I see our ushers are in the back. Can you come forward? If you're raising your hand, it's better if you come forward. Our ushers are in the back with blue bags, and they are there to offer a welcome to anyone who is new. If you're visiting, if you're here for the first or second time, but you've never received a welcome bag, they have information about the church. They have chocolate and ways for us to be in touch with you. So but you have to raise your hand, or Kima doesn't know who wants a goodie bag. And then it looked like there was a milestone or a celebration back there. Yes.
Cindy, my anniversary,
23rd anniversary. Oh, your 23rd anniversary. Wow, so we have birthdays and yes.
I just, it's not a milestone, but I dropped this
apples for aww, thank you. This is great. We have celebrations and milestones, birthdays and anniversaries, and we have an offer to share from the bounty of the earth. If you will turn to page 6 in your bulletin, we say our prayer together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I wanted to make one final announcement. If you have not seen these yet, I hope you got your email early this week that shared that we have a new magazine that's going to come out every couple of months. And some people have seen this in the narthex and said, what's that? My take on that is that it is so professional looking, so cool, that you just had no idea that it was just our little in-house magazine. So there are a few copies out in the narthex. We can make more, or you can look at what was sent to you online if you want to save paper. But I highly recommend that you do take a look at those. You'll notice that we're talking about needing stories, needing photos. That would be especially great for people to be taking pictures next Sunday when we're all here with the bishop. Okay, the only other thing is to say that our communion, instead of stations, that we're at the altar rail. We start from the back and fill in up toward the front. Your usher will be up front to let you know when it's time to come to the rail. You can stand, you can kneel, whatever you're comfortable with. You are going to be given a piece of our communion bread. You can then consume it, or you can hold on to it, and that means that when the Eucharistic minister comes by with the chalice, he or she will intinct the bread for you, hand it back to you, and you consume it that way. All are welcome to receive. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, because you sent your beloved Son to redeem us from sin and death and to make us heirs of everlasting life, that when Christ shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may, without shame or fear, rejoice to behold his appearing. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy.
Holy and gracious God, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Maker of all. Jesus stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Almighty God, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in Christ. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Savior, by Christ and with Christ and in Christ. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
Now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are able for our post-communion prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. May Christ, who gathered into one things earthly and things heavenly, fill you with his joy and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.